All right, everybody, welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're tackling injection molding.
Oh, yeah.
But more specifically, we're looking at ways to reduce molding stress during the injection molding process.
All right.
We found a really interesting technical article on the subject.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to break it down for you. So no need to worry about, like, getting bogged down by all the crazy jargon.
Absolutely.
We'll keep it nice and easy to understand.
We will.
So, to kind of give you a roadmap of where we're going with this deep dive,
Okay.
we're going to hit three main areas.
Okay.
We're going to look at how to actually fine-tune the injection molding process itself.
Yeah.
Then we'll talk about how important good mold design is.
Super important.
And then last, we'll look at how choosing the right materials is like picking the right tool for the job.
It makes all the difference.
So let's imagine for a second that we're trying to make a phone case.
Okay.
And we want this phone case to be like super durable,
yeah,
and sleek.
Cool for
and it. Definitely not prone to warping or cracking. So to make sure we end up with an awesome phone case, we got to start by talking about the injection parameters.
Yeah.
These are like the settings on your injection molding machine.
Exactly.
And if we don't get these right,
yeah,
our phone case is going to be a big old mess.
Yeah, like baking a cake.
Yeah, exactly, like baking a cake. You got to get the oven temperature right and all that good stuff.
Exactly, you got it.
So let's start with injection temperature.
Okay.
Now, this one might seem kind counterintuitive.
Okay.
But going a little bit cooler with your injection temperature can actually result in a less stressed final product.
That's true.
Think about it. If that plastic is too hot when it goes into the mold,
yeah,
those molecules get all jumbled up and tangled.
Yeah.
And then when they cool down, they're
right.
more likely to be stressed out,
right,
which can lead to all sorts of problems.
Exactly.
So how much cooler should we be aiming for?
Well, based on what we've read,
yeah,
dropping the temperature by, say, 5 to 10 degrees Celsius,
mm-hmm,
that can really make a noticeable difference,
okay,
in reducing what we call molecular orientation.
Gotcha.
And the less molecular orientation you have,
yeah,
the less stress you'll have in your part.
Okay, so lower temperature,
yep,
happier molecules.
Exactly.
What's next on our list?
So next up, let's talk about injection pressure and speed.
Okay.
Now, it might be tempting to think that, like, more pressure, higher speed.
Yeah, you're done.
You know, faster production.
Right.
But that's not always the case.
Right.
Too much force, too much pressure, too fast.
Yeah.
You're actually going to increase the stress in your material.
Gotcha.
Which can lead to defects down the line.
Okay, so it's a balancing act.
It is.
You need enough pressure and speed to fill the mold.
Yeah.
But not so much that you're, like,
right,
squeezing the heck out of it.
Exactly.
And causing all those molecules to stress out.
Exactly.
I can see how this would be super important for, like, our phone case.
Yeah.
Especially around those intricate little areas.
Yeah.
Like the camera cutouts,
yeah, sure,
and the button areas.
Absolutely.
Those seem like the areas that would be most prone to stress.
You're exactly right. Those intricate areas are typically where you'll see stress kind of concentrate.
Okay.
And if you can adjust your injection pressure and speed, even like 15 to 30%,
yeah,
you can significantly reduce the risk of cracks and warping.
Gotcha. Okay.
So it makes a big difference.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay. So we've got injection temperature.
Yes.
We've got injection pressure and speed.
Yep.
What's next?
All right. Last but not least, we have holding time and cooling time.
Okay.
And this is where patience comes in.
Okay.
You got to give the material enough time to settle into that mold.
Mm.
And cool down properly.
Gotcha.
If you rush the process,
yeah,
that can trap stress in the material.
Okay.
And that's going to lead to, again, shrinkage and warping.
So taking your time with the holding and cooling times can actually save you headaches down the road.
Absolutely. It's like anything else. You know, if you rush it, yeah, you're not going to get the best result.
Yeah. Well,
this is especially important with plastics.
Okay. So what kind of improvements are we talking about if we get these times right?
Well, from what we've seen in the research,
yeah,
extending those holding and cooling times appropriately,
yeah,
can reduce what we call shrinkage stress by 20 to 35%.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is, and that translates to a more stable part.
Okay.
A phone case that's going to hold its shape over time.
Nice. Okay, so we've covered a lot with these injection parameters.
You
we've got temperature, pressure, speed,
yep,
holding time, and cooling time.
That's right.
Lots to think about.
There is.
But I think I'm starting to see how each one plays a critical role in getting a good final part.
Absolutely.
So now let's shift gears a little bit and talk about the mold itself.
Okay, yeah.
So the mold is kind of like the foundation of a house.
I like that, yeah.
If you have a strong foundation,
yeah.
you're going to have a strong structure.
Exactly.
So how can we make sure that our mold design is setting us up for success?
Well, the key here is to make sure that the molten plastic can flow smoothly
yeah.
into every corner of the mold.
Okay.
And then cool evenly.
Gotcha.
Any bottlenecks or uneven cooling,
yeah.
that's going to create stress points.
Makes sense. So what are some of the key design things we need to think about?
So a great example is gate placement.
Okay.
The gate is basically where the molten plastic enters the mold.
Gotcha.
And where you place that gate can really affect the flow pattern.
Yeah.
If you only have one gate for like a phone case mold.
Okay.
It's like trying to get everyone into a concert hall through one single door.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to create a lot of pushing and shoving.
A lot of stress.
Exactly. And in plastics, that pushing and shoving.
Yeah.
That translates to stress in the part.
Okay. So what's a better way to do it?
So having multiple gates, or what we call a balanced gate design.
Okay.
That's going to help distribute that flow more evenly.
Okay.
And that can actually reduce stress by up to 25%.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's like having multiple entrances to that concert hall.
Right.
So everyone can get in smoothly.
Yeah, no bottlenecks.
Exactly, and find their seats without any stress.
Love that analogy. Okay, so gate placement is super important.
It is.
What else do we need to think about?
So another really crucial factor is your cooling system.
Okay.
It's kind of like, you know, keeping that concert hall at a comfortable temperature.
Yeah.
You got to make sure you have even cooling throughout the mold.
Gotcha.
Because if you have uneven cooling,
yeah,
you're going to get temperature differences.
Right.
And those temperature differences are what leads to stress and warping.
Okay. So it's not just about getting the plastic cool.
Right.
It's about getting it cool evenly.
Exactly.
So how do you make sure that happens?
So there's different techniques you can use.
Yeah.
Like rapid cooling.
Okay.
Where you use like high-powered cooling channels.
Okay.
Or you can use what's called a uniform cooling system.
Okay.
Which basically distributes the coolant evenly throughout the mold.
Gotcha.
These techniques can actually reduce stress by 20 to 30%.
Wow.
Which leads to, again, a more dimensionally stable part.
Okay. So even cooling equals a happy phone case.
Yes, definitely.
That's the last design thing we need to think about.
All right. So the last one we'll talk about is demolding slope.
Okay.
Now, this refers to the angle of the mold walls.
Okay.
That allows the part to be easily removed after it's cooled.
Gotcha.
If that slope isn't steep enough,
yeah,
it's going to create friction during ejection.
Oh.
Which can lead to stress.
Okay.
And even damage to the part.
Oh, no.
So you want to make sure that those walls are angled properly.
Gotcha. So it's like making sure the exit doors at that concert hall are wide enough
exactly.
so everyone can get out easily.
Exactly.
I never thought about it like that.
It's a good analogy.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
And even a small increase in that demolding slope
yeah.
can reduce stress by up to 20%.
Wow, okay.
So for our phone case, that means a nice clean ejection without any warping or distortion.
Awesome. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground with mold design.
Yeah.
Gate placement, cooling systems, demolding slope.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see how all these things work together.
They do. They all work together.
To get that plastic to flow, right?
Right.
Cool, right? And then come out of the mold without getting all messed up.
Exactly.
So now let's move on to the final piece of the puzzle. Choosing the right material.
Okay.
Now, this is where it gets really interesting.
It does.
Because different materials have different inherent stress levels.
They do.
And some materials are just better suited for certain applications than others.
Right.
So for our phone case, we need a material that can handle, you know, everyday wear and tear.
Yeah.
Getting tossed in a bag.
Right.
Dropped on the floor.
Yep.
Exposed to different temperatures.
Yeah.
So what are our options here?
Well, you have a lot of good options.
Yeah.
But for a high-performance phone case,
yeah.
something like polycarbonate or polyvinylene ether,
mm-hmm.
those are excellent choices.
Okay.
They're naturally strong. They're resilient.
Yeah.
And that helps to minimize molding stress right from the start.
Okay. Those sound good.
They are.
But what if we want to add some flexibility to our phone case design?
Okay. Well, that's where you can start using additives.
Okay.
Think of them as kind of like secret ingredients
okay.
that can enhance the properties of your base material.
Okay.
So, for example,
yeah.
you can use plasticizers,
okay.
which make the material more flexible.
Okay.
They reduce brittleness and stress.
Okay.
Or you can use impact modifiers,
okay.
which provide that extra boost of strength.
Okay.
So it can withstand drops and impacts.
Gotcha. So the additives are kind of like adding superpowers to our phone case?
Exactly. That's a great way to think about it.
Okay. So what kind of impact can these additives have on the stress levels in the final product?
Well, based on our research,
yeah,
using the right additives can reduce molding stress by up to 25%.
Wow, that's awesome.
It is.
But it's not just about the material itself, right?
Right.
We also got to think about where that phone case is going to be used.
Absolutely. You got to consider the environment, things like temperature fluctuations, UV exposure, moisture, all of that.
Right.
If your phone case is going to be out in the sun a lot, you need materials and additives that can handle UV degradation.
It's like choosing the right outfit for the occasion.
Exactly.
You wouldn't wear a swimsuit to a snowstorm.
Exactly. Good analogy.
So we got to make sure that our material is ready for whatever the world is going to throw at it.
Exactly.
And just like we test our clothes, we got to test our materials too.
Absolutely.
Make sure they're up for the challenge.
Right. Put them through their paces.
All right. So we've covered injection parameters, mold design.
Yes.
And material selection.
We have.
It's amazing how much goes into creating a simple phone case.
It is. There's a lot more to it than meets the eye.
But we've learned that each step along the way plays a role in reducing that molding stress.
Absolutely.
And that means you're going to end up with a better product.
Exactly. Higher quality, more durable.
I'm really starting to see the big picture here.
Good. That's what we like to hear.
All right. So that's it for the first part of our deep dive.
Okay.
We'll be back next time to explore some even more advanced techniques for reducing molding stress.
It's going to get even more interesting.
Stay tuned.
See you then.
Welcome back. So last time we talked about injection parameters, mold design, and material selection.
Yeah, we covered a lot of ground.
We did. And we used that phone case example, remember?
Yep, our trusty phone case.
Exactly. Yeah. So now let's dive into some more, you know, advanced techniques.
Ooh, I like advanced.
That can really take your injection molding to the next level.
All right, let's level up.
So let's go back to those injection parameters for a second.
All right.
But this time we're going to dig a little deeper.
All right, I'm ready to dig in.
Okay, so remember how we talked about making sure the plastic flows nicely into the mold? Yeah, getting that good flow.
Exactly. Well, there's this thing called melt flow rate.
Okay.
Or MFR for short.
MFR, got it.
And it basically measures how easily the plastic flows.
Okay.
Under specific conditions.
So it's kind of like measuring the viscosity of the plastic.
You got to think of it like honey versus water.
Okay.
Honey has a lower MFR. It's thick, flows slowly.
Right.
Water has a higher MFR, flows quickly and easily.
Okay, that makes sense.
So for our phone case, we got to find that sweet spot.
Okay.
Not too thick, not too thin, just right.
Goldilocks.
Exactly. The Goldilocks MFR for that perfect flow and, you know, minimal stress.
Okay, so how do we actually control the MFR? Like, how do we tweak it?
So one way is to adjust the melt temperature.
Okay.
Usually a hotter melt means a higher MFR.
Makes sense.
But remember, we got to be careful with those temperatures, right?
Right. Don't want to go too hot.
Exactly. We don't want those molecules getting all jumbled up.
Ooh, no jumbled molecules.
So are there other ways to adjust MFR?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, absolutely. You can use additives that act like lubricants.
Okay.
They reduce friction and help things flow better.
So it's like adding oil to a sticky door hinge.
Exactly. Makes everything move smoother.
Perfect analogy. All right. So we can adjust the temperature. We can use additives.
Yeah.
What other advanced injection parameters are out there?
Okay. So there's this cool technique called multi-stage injection.
Okay.
And this gives you even more control over the filling process.
Okay.
So instead of just injecting all the plastic at once, you do it in stages with different pressures and speeds.
Okay. So I'm picturing like a really complex mold.
Yeah.
Like our phone case. With all those little cutouts and stuff.
Exactly. So think of it like filling a vase with a narrow neck.
Multi-stage injection. I like it.
It's a game changer.
All right. So we've talked about those advanced injection parameters.
Oh, you have.
Now, what about the mold itself?
Okay.
We talked about the basics last time.
We did.
Are there any like advanced mold techniques we can use?
Yeah. There are actually some really cool ones.
Ooh, lay it on me.
So one that's getting really popular is conformal cooling.
Conformal cooling.
So instead of those straight cooling channels, you create channels that actually follow the shape of the mold.
Wow. So it's like a custom fitted cooling system.
Exactly. It's like having a cooling system that reaches every nook and cranny.
I bet that's super efficient.
It is. And it allows for more even cooling.
Okay.
Which, you know, reduces those temperature differences.
Right.
And that means less stress and warping.
Gotcha. Plus, it probably speeds up the whole process, right?
You got it. Faster cycle times, more parts.
More phone cases.
Exactly.
All right. Conformal cooling, check. What else?
Okay. So this one might sound a little weird. It's called gas-assisted injection molding.
Gas-assisted. Okay.
Yeah, or GAME, for short.
Got it.
And basically, you inject gas into the mold.
Wait, you inject gas?
Along with the plastic.
Why would you do that?
So it's a clever way to make hollow parts.
Okay.
And it also helps get rid of those sink marks.
Sink marks. Yeah, those are no good.
So the gas pressure pushes the plastic outward.
Okay.
Creates those hollow sections.
Gotcha.
Makes everything nice and smooth.
So it's like using the gas to sculpt the inside of the part?
Exactly. And here's a bonus. The gas also helps cool things down faster.
Oh, okay.
So it's a triple threat.
Okay, let me recap this. Hollow parts.
Yep.
No sink marks.
Oh.
And less stress.
You got it.
Okay. JLM, I'm impressed.
It's a good one.
All right, is there anything else?
Yeah, one more technique I want to mention is called sequential valve gating.
Sequential valve gating. Or
SVG.
SVG. All right, I'm writing all this down.
Okay, good. So this one is super useful for molds with multiple cavities.
Okay, so like when you're making a bunch of phone cases at the same time?
Exactly. So with traditional gating systems, all the cavities fill up at once.
Okay.
But with SVG, each cavity has its own valve.
Okay.
That controls the flow of plastic.
So it's like each phone case gets its own little personal supply of plastic.
Exactly. And that allows for really precise filling.
Okay.
And balanced pressure in each part.
Okay. So it's like having a separate water line for each plant in your garden.
Exactly. You got it.
Make sure they all get the right amount of water.
Yep. SVG helps to ensure consistency.
Okay.
And reduce stress across all the parts.
Awesome SVG. I'm adding that to my list.
All right, so we've talked about all these fancy mold techniques.
We have.
Now, let's go back to material selection for a second.
Okay.
Remember, we talked about choosing the right base materials.
Yeah.
And using additives.
Mm-hmm.
But is there anything else we can do?
Okay.
To really enhance our material choices for stress reduction?
I'm all ears. I want to know all the secrets.
All right, so have you ever heard of polymer blends and alloys?
Polymer blends and alloys? That sounds pretty intense.
Yeah, it sounds fancy, but it's a pretty simple concept.
Okay.
You're basically combining different polymers to create a new material with, you know, enhanced properties.
So it's like mixing and matching different plastics to get the perfect combo?
Exactly. It's like creating a recipe.
Okay.
With different ingredients.
All right, I'm following you.
So you're finding that perfect blend of polymers to create the ultimate stress-busting material.
So for our phone case, we're
going
to cook up a special blend of plastic.
Exactly. And by choosing the right polymers, you can combine their strengths and kind of minimize their weaknesses.
Gotcha. So it's all about finding that synergy.
Exactly. So for example, you might blend a polymer that's known for its impact resistance with another one that's really flexible.
Okay.
And that gives you a material that can handle both drops and bends without cracking.
Yeah. I love this idea of like creating a custom material blend.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's like having a secret weapon.
Exactly.
In our fight against molding stress.
You got it. So are there any specific polymer blends that are really good at reducing stress?
Yeah. Are there any go-to blends?
Absolutely. So for our phone case, a good option would be a blend of polycarbonate.
Okay.
And ABS.
ABS.
So polycarbonate gives you strength and rigidity.
Okay.
And ABS adds impact resistance and flexibility.
Okay.
So you get a phone case that's durable and can handle all that everyday use.
That's awesome. So we're not just limited to using one type of plastic.
Right. You really create.
We can mix and match and make our own super plastic.
Exactly. And that's what's so cool about material selection.
Yeah, there's so much to think about.
There is. And it's not just about picking something strong.
Right.
It's about understanding how those different polymers behave.
Okay.
And finding the right combination.
It's a science.
It is. It's a science and an art.
I love it. All right. So we've covered so much in this part.
We have.
Advanced injection parameters.
Yeah.
All those cool mold techniques.
Uh-huh.
And now this whole world of polymer blends.
It's a lot to take in.
I'm feeling inspired.
Good. I'm glad.
I can't wait to see what we talk about next.
Well, next time we're going to get even more practical.
Ooh, even more practical.
We're going to talk about how to put all this knowledge into action.
Okay.
So get ready to take some notes.
I'm ready. Let's do it. Welcome back for the final part of our deep dive. We've been talking all about injection molding and how to reduce molding stress.
It's been quite a journey.
It has. We started with the basics, then we got into some pretty advanced stuff.
Yeah, we did.
But now let's talk about how to actually put all this knowledge into practice.
Right, because knowing all this stuff is great.
Yeah.
But you got to know how to use it.
Exactly. So where do we even begin?
Okay, so first things first, you got to take a step back and look at your whole injection molding process.
Okay, the big picture.
Exactly. It's not just about making little tweaks here and there.
Right.
It's about understanding how everything works together.
So it's kind of like an orchestra. Right?
Exactly. You got it.
Each instrument has its own part to play.
Yep.
and they all got to work together to make the music sound good.
Exactly. And you're the conductor.
Okay, I like that.
You got to make sure everything is in sync.
Okay, so what are some specific areas we should be focusing on?
Okay, so let's start with your injection molding machine.
Okay, the heart of the operation.
Exactly. You got to make sure that machine is in tip-top shape.
Okay, so regular maintenance.
Regular maintenance.
Calibration.
Calibration, that's super important.
Okay.
It's like taking your car in for a tune-up.
Right. Keeps everything running smoothly.
Exactly. You want that machine to be running at peak performance.
Okay, so machine maintenance. Check.
Check.
What about those sensors and controls?
Oh, yeah, those are important too.
Yeah, they're kind of like the brains of the operation, right?
Exactly. They're telling you what's going on.
Yeah.
So you got to make sure they're working right.
Gotcha. Make sure they're giving you accurate information.
Yep. Accurate data is key.
Okay, so machine maintenance, calibration, sensors, controls.
All very important.
What about the actual injection molding process itself?
Okay, so once you've got your machine all set up,
yeah,
you need a good process validation protocol.
Okay, a protocol. What's that?
Basically, you're just documenting everything.
Okay.
All your parameters, your temperatures, pressures, speeds, all that stuff.
Gotcha.
And then you run some tests.
Okay.
To make sure that your process is consistently making good parts.
So it's kind of like having a really detailed recipe.
Exactly. You got it.
So you know that every batch of cookies is going to turn out perfect.
Precisely.
Yeah.
A well-documented process is like a recipe for success.
I like that. Okay. So process validation. Check.
Check.
Now, we talked a lot about mold design.
We did.
From basic stuff to those really advanced techniques.
Conformal cooling, all that good stuff.
Yeah. So how do we know when to use those fancy techniques?
That's a good question.
Like, is it always better to go all out with the mold design?
Well, not necessarily.
Okay.
You got to find that balance between, you know, innovation and practicality.
Right. Because those fancy techniques probably cost more.
They do. They add complexity and cost.
Okay, so sometimes a simpler design might be better.
Exactly. Sometimes keeping it simple is the way to go.
Gotcha. So it's like building a house.
Okay, yeah.
You got to have a strong foundation first before you start adding all the bells and whistles.
Exactly. Focus on those fundamentals.
Yeah.
Gate placement, cooling channels, demolding slopes.
Right.
Get those right.
Okay.
And you'll be in good shape.
Awesome. Good advice. Now, material selection.
Okay, yes.
We talked about choosing the right base materials and using additives.
Yeah.
Do you have any other tips for actually picking the right stuff?
Yeah, because there's so many options out there.
There are. It can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
So honestly, my best advice is to find a good material supplier.
Someone who knows their stuff.
Yeah.
And who understands what you're trying to do.
Gotcha. So they can kind of guide you in the right direction.
Exactly. They can be like your plastic guru.
I like that, a plastic guru.
They can save you a lot of time and headaches.
Okay, find a good material supplier. Got it.
Got it.
Now, one last question before we wrap things up.
Okay.
Post-processing, yeah. Annealing, humidity conditioning, all that stuff.
Yeah.
How do we know when to use those techniques?
So just like with mold design.
Okay.
It really depends on the material and what you're making.
Okay.
Some materials are just more prone to stress.
Right.
And some products need to be more precise.
Okay.
So you got to kind of assess each product individually.
Gotcha. So it's like a tailor-made treatment.
Exactly. You got it.
Okay. So we've covered a ton of information in this deep dive.
We have.
And I got to say, I'm feeling pretty inspired.
That's what we like to hear.
Yeah. It's amazing to see how much science and engineering goes into injection molding.
It is. It's a fascinating field.
It is. And we've learned that reducing molding stress is key to making better products.
Absolutely. Better products, more efficient process, less waste.
And that's good for everyone.
It is. It's good for the bottom line and it's good for the environment.
Okay. So to wrap things up, we want to encourage all of you out there to really embrace this challenge of reducing molding stress.
It's a challenge worth taking on.
It is. And keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible with injection molding.
Absolutely. There's always room for innovation.
That's it for our deep dive into the world of injection molding.
It's been fun.
It has. We hope you enjoyed it.
I hope so, too.
And we hope you learned a ton.
Me, too.
And that you're feeling inspired to go out there and make some amazing products.
That's what it's all about.
So until next time, happy molding, everyone.
Happy molding.